I think Vicky wanted to know, if anyone that wanted to sing. I'm a Child of the King. We were going to
run through that again with Brother Jesse after he come. He wasn't here a while ago when we were singing it. And so anyone who wants to do that. We may sing it for a choir song one of these Sunday mornings or something like that. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. We were there this morning. Let's go back there tonight. This morning we was talking about faith and having faith to deal with all this virus and all these things. While you're turning, let me read some verses of some people in crucial times of their life. Abraham, remember when Abraham took his son up on the mountain? And Isaac, and he was going to offer his son up, and he thought for sure that he believed that God had the power to raise him up from the dead if he was to kill him and sacrifice him. And I believe from all indications of Scripture that Abraham had every intention of putting a knife and dagger right through his son's chest. But then remember what, when his son asked, where's the lamb? In verse 22, chapter 22 and verse 8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Remember Caleb, when he was 85 years old, God had promised him that mountain, and they got over in the promised land. Joshua 14:12, he says, now therefore give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake this day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Now remember, those were giants. Those were giants there in that land. And so Caleb, him and Joshua, went to the other side, and he got there, and he promised them that mountain. He said, I want that mountain. He said, I'm going to go, and all those giants, I'm going to run them out. Remember David talking about a giant? David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Remember how David faced that giant, had full confidence and faith in God. Job, when he was facing everything, he couldn't lie down, couldn't get any rest, couldn't get in a position where he wasn't in severe pain, lost his children, lost all his possessions. And he, in Job 19:25, he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter days. The three Hebrew children, before they were cast in a burning furnace, said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He'll deliver us out of thy hand, O King. And on and on and on. And you think sometimes, you think, man, I wish I had faith like that. Well, in all honesty, sometimes our faith fails. But I want you to understand that you say, well, I could never be like that person. Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter of people just like you and me. People that God decided to do something through. Many are unnamed. But they had faith in God and trusted in God. In Hebrews chapter 11, if you look with me, please, in verse number 11, we find the first woman that's mentioned in the hall of fame or faith people refers to. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sands which is by the seashore, innumerable. The funny thing about this is not that she's a woman, because God used many women in many different ways. God still uses women today. But the thing that was odd about her being in faith was that when God told her what he was going to do, anybody remember what she did? She laughed. And remember what, when God said, why do you laugh? Remember what she did then? Anybody remember what she did? She said, I didn't laugh. And the Lord said, yes, you did laugh. And so it's kind of odd that she's here in faith. Let's turn back, if you would, to Genesis, and let me show you a couple things in Genesis chapter 17. Or let's go on back a little further, first of all. Look in Genesis chapter 12. Now, you got to give Sarah some credit. She was willing to follow her husband out of the land of Ur into the promised land that God promised him. She was willing to follow her husband down to Egypt. Even though that was a bad move on Abraham's part, she still went with him. Then also into the desert, she went with him. In chapter 12, we find God promising Abraham something in verse 2. Now remember, at this time, Abraham and Sarah was, I believe, if I remember right, he is like 75 and she is like 65. Now I'm sure they would marry young during those days. So it was obvious that they probably had tried to have children for many, many years. And yet she was barren without any children. And so Abraham realized that. And in chapter 12, verse 2, God told Abraham, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And he goes on and he promises later on, if you look in chapter 15, in verse number 2, and Abraham said unto the Lord, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And so, again, he recognizes that he is unable to this point to have children. On down in verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, look now toward the heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, notice there that even though him and Sarah was not able to have children, and God promised him that he would have so many seeds, it'd be like the stars. Another place as the sand of the sea. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God. It was counted for him to righteousness. On over in chapter 4 of Romans, we're reminded that, and Paul brings that back up in proving that salvation is not by works, but by grace. And therefore, it was the fact that David believed God, and it was counted for him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness, and you must believe God if you're going to have any righteousness, because Jesus' righteousness is imputed to you. Now, getting on beyond that, look if you would in chapter 17. In chapter 17, in verse 15, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, which means princely, but Sarah shall be her name, which means princess. And in verse 16, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. King of people shall be of her. Now, that sounds good to this point. Look in verse number 17 and notice what happens with Abraham. Then Abraham fell upon his face and what? Laughed. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. So some people says, well, why did God not get after Abraham when he laughed? Abraham's laugh evidently was one of joy, knowing that God was going to bring about this. Notice that the Bible says, and how we know this, keep your finger there in Genesis just a moment, and go over to the book of Romans, chapter number 4, just a minute. In Romans chapter 4, notice verse number 18. The Bible's talking about Abraham. Or let's skip on back a little bit. And notice, if you would, let me go back to verse number 12. It says, and the father of circumcision, by the way, he circumcised himself in chapter 17 of Genesis. He circumcised himself when he was 99 years old. 99 years old. Now think about that. And Ishmael was 13 years old. But the Bible says, and the father of circumcision to them which are not of circumcision only, but also walk in steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, on down, the Bible says in verse 18, who also against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, the key that I want you to see was that when Abraham laughed, he didn't laugh doubting God. He laughed because God was going to do it in his old age. He believed God was able to do this, and he staggered not at the promises of God. But now let's look at Sarah a moment, if you would, in chapter 18. Now the Lord come and met Abraham here. This is right before he's going to destroy Sodom. And in chapter 18, he meets Abraham, him and two angels. Then in chapter 19, he sends two angels into Sodom and Gomorrah to Lot's house to bring Lot out of there and deliver Lot before he destroys the city. And by the way, Lot was a type of a Christian, a carnal Christian, that God is going to take out before he destroys, because he will not destroy the righteous with the wicked in that situation. And then chapter 18, here they come, they meet with Abraham. In verse number 6, and Abraham hastened into the tent, into Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meat, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man and hastened to dress it. I was telling some of the boys this morning, we got home, and on the way home, Chris was talking about what we had for dinner. And she had a ham cooked, and we passed some guineas that was in the road. And I said, well, we can stop and get a guinea and cook the guineas. And they laughed. I said, well, I said, years ago, sometimes Dad would surprise Mom that we would have guests. And there was a time when we had some chickens. And sometime home, and somebody would be coming home, and she'd say, go get a chicken and wring its head, wring its neck off. What are you snarling for, Hope? And pluck it. That's what we'd done for you if you'd come over. And we'd plucked it right there and talked about fresh meat. That was grade A fresh meat, right off the yard. And so anyway, Abraham did the same here. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tent, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, will have a son. And Sarah heard it in tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And at the time appointed, I will turn to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And she said, nay, but thou, and he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. So here she laughed, but she laughed because of unbelief. Now, the point I want to get across to, and I'm going to get to in just a moment, I've come a long way to do this, is sometimes we have a hard time putting faith in the Lord in certain times of our life. There are certain things that takes place in our life that we have a hard time sometimes trusting. I wrote several of them down that we find in the Bible examples. When in Matthew chapter 14, when Peter was walking on the water, he began to sink. Why did he begin to sink? Anybody know? What? He took his eyes off the Lord. Listen. When we take our eyes off the Lord, our faith begins to leave us. You say, Brother Billy, I'm having a hard time with this. Well, whose eyes is your faith on? You, the situation, or the Lord? Our faith begins to falter sometimes when we take our eyes off the Lord. Remember what Peter did? He's walking, and then he sunk. When he began to look at the waves and all those things around him, it began to take him and he lost his faith. Then also in Luke chapter 22, we find that sometimes what we do is we trust in ourselves. And in Luke 22, if you turn over there just a moment, in verse number 31, the Bible says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired. Remember, Peter said that he would not deny him and so forth when he told. He said, he desired to have you that he may sift you, but I pray for you that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. In other words, sometimes, now listen a moment. Sometimes when we get thinking too much of ourselves, we lose our faith. We get thinking we can do things without him. And he made it clear to Peter before that without him he could do what? Nothing. And so what Peter did was he took his eyes off of him. Also what Peter did here was he was too confident in Peter. And sometimes we're too confident in ourselves. And we end up crashing and burning along our walk of faith because we put our faith in the wrong person. Another place that I thought about was in Matthew chapter number 8. And Matthew chapter number 8, if you turn there just a moment, verse 24. You'll remember this, when the disciples was on the ship and a storm came upon them. They began to get scared. When storms of life begins to hit, it's easy sometimes to lose our faith. And you know, sometimes we look at Sarah and we say, well, Sarah should have never laughed. But sometimes our faith is not what it needs to be at certain times when we need it to be. And so Sarah, remember now, she was 90 years old. And she's told that she's going to have a child. She's not been able to have a child all these years. And that was hard for her to swallow. But again, Jesus asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? Sometimes in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus reminds us sometimes things get tight. I was thinking about something. I was looking through some notes earlier today, and I saw over where in Kings, where the woman, all of her barrels were empty. Remember that? And the Lord filled all the barrels up. And I wrote a little note. When the Lord allows everything to get empty, He's fixing to do something. And so what we do sometimes when we're going through hard times, I was thinking about the testimony that Kelly gave the other Sunday night, those of you who wasn't here, how that when they made the decision to bring Riley into their home, that suddenly they found a mistake in his pay for 5 years where they'd underpaid him. We've had the same thing happen. One time we spent some money and gave it to missions that we didn't have, and Chris reminded me on the way home that we had a bill to pay that next morning. And we got a check in the mail that morning from an insurance company that found a mistake they'd made 5 or 6 years ago just for the amount of money that we'd sent and gave to the missions. Sometimes we lose faith when things get a little rough. Sometimes we lose faith when we begin and have sickness strikes us. When things begin to happen around us and we begin to get sick, our loved ones get sick, sometimes again we take our eyes off the Lord. Then I also thought about that sometimes, like in John the Baptist, you think of John the Baptist, you think of somebody bold. And remember, sometimes we picture John the Baptist being some old man, but John the Baptist was a young guy. He died when he was 33 years old. And John the Baptist here he was a brave guy preaching and rough, guy coming out of the wilderness with wearing a camel skin and eating wild locusts and honey. And you figure him to be a rough. But then he got put in prison, and he's fixing to die. He's going to have his head cut off. And he sent to his disciples, asked Jesus, are you really who you are? Sometimes when we're facing death, our faith begins to falter a little bit. Now, I said all that to say this, going back to Sarah just a moment. The Bible does not record where Sarah, how she changed. But what the Bible does record in the book of Hebrews is that he gives credit to Sarah for being a woman of faith. Something happened from the time she laughed, and it may be that whenever God rebuked her for laughing, that she really truly repented and she trusted God. And it may be that after she saw what the Lord had done at Sodom and Gomorrah, It changed her life. Because in the next chapter, God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And she, after she saw that and saw that he brought Lot out and he was able to save Lot. So therefore, whatever it was, I don't know what it was, when it was, but somewhere along the way, she began to grow in faith and she began to believe in what the Lord has said. And I just wanted to share this thought with you tonight. And I'm going to close here. But I want to share this thought. The Bible teaches us that we are saved by faith. Anyone who gets saved, you're saved by faith and believing in God's word, believing what you haven't been able to see, only you trust what God has said about it. As we saw this morning, that's what faith is. The Bible also teaches us that we serve by faith. We serve God by faith, and we We don't see how God and what God's going to do, but God has a ways of doing things that we just don't understand. He's so far out above us and in front of us. Then also, we walk by faith. Everything that we do after we are saved needs to be have faith included in it, because without faith, it's impossible to do what? To please God. And so therefore, what God requires us of is to do these things by faith. But what I want to give you a thought on was this. You say, Brother Billy, I can't. I failed miserably when I went through this. But what I wanted you to see tonight was this. Sarah did too. But God didn't write her off. He didn't count her out. She come and she grew in faith. Peter failed and come and grew in faith. Abraham one time fell. Noah failed. David failed. And on and on and on and on and on. We could go through the Bible, people that their faith failed them at certain times. And so therefore, don't get discouraged, but do like the disciples when they pray, Lord, increase our faith. And sometimes you say, well, many people left today and said, this thing don't bother me at all. It may not bother you, and there may be somebody else that it bothers tremendously. Now, I think you're a fool if you put your head in sand and say it don't exist, because it does. Some people say, I just don't think it exists. It does exist. I mean, just look at the death tolls. It exists. But the point is in everything that we face, some people face death differently. Some people face other issues in life. And so what I'm trying to get you to understand is this. Pray for those people that their faith would increase. And if you have failed in faith, don't let that count you out. Understand that God, I mean, Sarah was so important. And by the way, Sarah, this is interesting. I'll give you this. Now close. Sarah is the only woman that had something done in the whole Bible that no other woman had. Anybody know what it was? Other than, I know she had a child at 100, but her womb was open, but other women had their womb open. Anybody know what God did with Sarah? She was the only one that God ever told her age. And if you go over in chapter 28, the Bible says Sarah was 127 years old. That's amazing, isn't it? All through the Bible, he tells all the men's ages. So ladies, nothing's changed. Amen. But she was the only one that ever had her age told by God. And so that I found that to be interesting. But my point that I want you to leave here with is this. We have a life of faith. Just because you falter or stumble or stagger, don't think that God counts you out. Pick back up and go and ask God to help you in those weak times. Because every one of us are going to face issues that we're going to need to have faith in God. And we're going to have to learn to trust God. And we need to put our trust in God. And that's where it needs to be, amen. Let's stand tonight if you would.